I invite you to take your Bibles and we'll turn this time to the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke in the chapter number 12. Luke's Gospel in the chapter number 12. We want to begin our reading here at the verse number 13 and we'll read down to the verse 21. Luke's Gospel chapter 12. Beginning to read at the verse 13, and let us hear the word of the Lord. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Amen. And we trust that the Lord will bless the reading of his word to our hearts. Let's bow together. And even if you're here tonight and you're not converted, you can pray that the Lord will even speak to you and challenge you through the word. Our Father and our God in heaven, we thank you for the opportunity you have given to us again to come and to bring the word of God. And Father, I would ask tonight now, acknowledging that, Lord, preaching is not merely a physical work, it's a spiritual work. Lord, we acknowledge, O God, that our own mere ability is not sufficient for such a task. And so we would depend solely upon the infilling of the Spirit of God. We depend solely, O God, for that power that can come, O Lord, and separate us and lift us up from the realm of the natural into the supernatural. From a realm, O God, of merely struggling to get through to a realm of liberty and joy. Lord, give us a help tonight. You know our hearts. You know our thoughts. Lord, we want to preach the gospel. We want to compel men and women, children, to get to Christ. Lord, give us that liberty to do that. Help this not to be a performance. But Lord, help it to be, Lord, as one dying man preaching to dying people, preparing them, telling them of the judgment that is to come. Lord, help tonight, we pray. We ask this in thy precious name. Amen. I want to begin this evening by asking you a question. And the question is this: what world are you living for? What world are you living for? And the answer to that can either come as one of two options. Either you will be able to say tonight, well, I am living for this world, the here and now. Or your answer will be that I am living for the world that is to come, eternity. Now, we live in an age of materialism, and we live in an age when people are consumed with this world, and it seems to be that they're not concerned with the world that is to come. Naturally, people's attitude is to live for the here and now. In other words, people forget about eternity, and they live for time. Their focus, their energy, all their output for life is focused on the here and now, and they forget about the life that is to come, the life in eternity. The Lord Jesus Christ tells us a parable here from the verses 16 to 21. And the reason why he tells this parable is because he has been asked a question by a young man. Notice with me there in verse number 13. One of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And this young man, although he was asking this question, yet this question reveals a great problem that he had within his heart. Because this question reveals that here was a young man whose focus and whose th- thinking of life was not in the world to come, but was solely fixed in this world, the here and now. A young man who was consumed with time, and a young man who had forgotten about eternity. Now, what the situation was this, that probably, or more than likely, from what is inferred in this passage, a family member had died. Most likely, perhaps, a father. And the father had died, and even within our own culture of Northern Ireland, we know what happens. A family member would die, and they would leave an inheritance. And so this father, so to speak, had died, and he had left an inheritance to his sons. And the older son had received double the inheritance, which would be the custom of that day. And the younger son would have received the lesser inheritance. And the younger son looked to his older brother. And he looked at what his older brother had got. And it's not out of need that he's asking for more. It's not out of desperation. It's not out of a situation that has come into his life and now he needs more money. But rather it is out of the covetousness of his own heart. It's out of envy. It's out of greed that he is looking to what his brother has, double of what he has got, and he has said, I want more. I want more. Christ used the parable. He spoke and he replied to this young man in the form of a parable. And he used this parable not to answer this young man's material situation, but he used this parable to address his spiritual condition. And tonight, as you have come into this meeting, I am not really concerned about your material situation. I'm not concerned whether you're rich or whether you're poor. I'm not concerned if your house is this big or that big. I'm not concerned if your car costs £500 or £5,000. But I am concerned about your soul. I am concerned that every single person in this meeting tonight possesses something that far outweighs money, that far outweighs any houses or land. They possess something that will never die. They possess something that someday will either spend its eternity in God's heaven or in God's hell. And tonight, so often, people can focus on their material situation and they can forget about their spiritual condition. Tonight, through this parable, and through the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to address and show you not just the spiritual condition of this farmer, but your own spiritual condition. Notice what the Lord Jesus Christ says is by means of introduction to the parable. In verse 15, take heed. Beware of covetousness. He points out this man's problem. He was covetous. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And notice there he uses a very interesting word. That word life. And that word life in the Greek language is the Greek word zoe. And it doesn't just speak about sentience. It doesn't just speak about living or existence. It's speaking there about meaning. It's speaking about purpose. It's speaking about living life to the full, having meaning and purpose in your life. And notice when he says, your life does not consist. Your life, that which gives your life meaning and purpose, does not consist, is not made up in physical things. It's not made up in the abundance of the things that you possess. And I want to say to you tonight, you could have come into this meeting as a very rich individual. You could have come into this meeting physically rich, but you could be spiritually poor. Your bank might be full of money, but tonight the bank of heaven might be empty. You see, your life does not consist. Your life does not have meaning and purpose simply because you have a lot of stuff. The only thing that gives your life meaning, the only thing that can give your life purpose, is whenever you live and you invest your life for God and you follow Christ. And this parable ought to cause us to lift our eyes from off the here and now. And it should cause us to consider our great need to be ready for eternity. And tonight I want to look at this rich fool's life. And I've entitled this message, The Rich Fool. Very simple, yet very profound. The Rich Fool. As we'll see later on, so often those two words do not go together. And yet tonight we will see how they do go together. I want you to notice, first of all, concerning this rich fool, And it's found in verse number 16. I want you to notice his fortune. His fortune. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. Now there's nothing wrong here. Nothing illegal. There's no crime involved. This farmer went out to his fields with the seed in his hand. He went out to the ground. He took the seed. He sowed the seed. The right conditions came. And he had a bumper harvest. And there's nothing wrong in this life with people being successful. It seems to be certain people have a knack for money and how to make money. If you give them a fiver, they don't spend it. They'll make you 50 fivers back. They know when to invest and you know what business to open. There's certain people who are simply successful in life, and there's nothing wrong with that. But what does 1 Timothy 6 and 10 tell us or warn us about? It's the love of money. And this young man who had come to the Lord Jesus Christ, this was his problem. He was covetousness. He was coveting after something that was not rightfully his. This young man made the mistake of trying to satisfy, of trying to give meaning to his life by accumulating things. And yet Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 10 tells us that he that has silver shall not be satisfied with silver. You'll not be satisfied with money. And this man was trying to get something from his inheritance that would never satisfy. And you could be here tonight and you are working 5, 6, 7 days a week. And you're trying to accumulate into your life more stuff, a bigger car, a better house, more money in the bank. And you could be trying to accumulate more things and thinking to yourself, if only I had more, then I'd be content. If only I had more, then my life would have meaning. If only I could accumulate X amount and reach this target, then my life would have a purpose. And yet tonight you are sorely mistaken. Money does not make your life more meaningful. Money can never add meaning to your life. And this young man, he was trying to get something from his inheritance that was never going to affect his eternity. You know, there was nothing wrong with this farmer's material condition. He was a rich man. He had done well for himself. But there was something wrong with this farmer's spiritual condition. And this is where we see, really, how we can bring those two words together. He was a rich man, but yet he was a fool. Notice with me, secondly, his forgetfulness. His forgetfulness. Notice what it says in verses 17 to 19. We see here that he had a conversation with himself. He's having a planning meeting, so to speak. What is he going to do? And it's through this conversation that we have a glimpse into this rich farmer's life. And I want you to notice that in this conversation, this rich fool, he forgot about two very important things. Two very important things. The first thing he forgot about was God. God about God. Now notice with me whenever we read this, I want you to pick out here the six eyes and the four mice. The six eyes and the four mice. In verse 17, he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And what we see here in the conversation that this man had with himself, that this farmer suffered from the same problem as the young man who had asked the Lord the question. He was covetous. He was a materialist. He was investing and he was consumed with things. Not with God. He had completely forgotten about God. Never mentions him once. Even though it was God that had given him the bumper harvest, he never thought about God. Even though God had given him the energy and the strength to go out and sow, he never acknowledged God. I want you to notice that he left God out of three things. I'll just go through these very quickly. Notice there in verse number 17, and he thought within himself, God wasn't in his thoughts. God wasn't in his thoughts. He thought within himself. And how often people today, that's exactly what they do. When they go to plan their future, when they go to consider what they're going to do in the time that is to come, they never think about God. They leave God out of their thoughts. They never consider that someday they'll stand before God and they'll give an account of the entire life that they have lived. God wasn't in his thoughts. But then verses 17 to 19, as a summary, God wasn't in his talk. He never mentioned God once. He lived his life as a practical atheist. We might have believed that there was a creator. He might have believed that there was some sort of God, but practically, he lived like an atheist. He lived as if God never existed. And you could be here tonight, and oh, it could be all right. You think to yourself, well, I know that there is a God. I know there's a heaven. I know there's a hell. But tonight, you're living as if it doesn't exist. Tonight, you're living as if there is no God. You're just continuing on with your own thoughts, your own thinking. God wasn't in his thoughts, God wasn't in his talk, but God also wasn't in his time. In verse 19, I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much good set up for many years, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. He looked at what he had, and he thought because he possessed so much stuff, and he had enough money and provisions laid up for so many years to keep him, that guaranteed him all the years ahead. He truly was a fool. And as he looked into his future, he says, I have no room for God in my time. I wonder tonight, have you scheduled God into your time? Do you every week think to yourself, I need to worship God? It is my duty to be there on Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and at the prayer meeting night. It is my duty to worship God, but also to serve God, to be involved in the works of the church, to be following after him. You know, this man presents to us an example of a greedy, materialistic man. He was a man that was just consumed with what he could get. But I want you to notice a second thing that this man forgot. He forgot about God, but he also forgot about his own mortality. He forgot about his own mortality. Verse 19, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. This man had completely forgotten that there would come an end to his time. This man had completely forgotten that his storehouse might go on and on and on, but his life would not keep going on and on and on. This man had forgotten the exhortation of Proverbs 27 and verse 1, boast not yourself of tomorrow, for you know not what a day may bring forth. He's forgotten the illustration of James chapter 4, your life is but as a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. And perhaps when you go home tonight, dear unbeliever, and you'll go home and you'll make yourself a cup of tea or coffee, and you'll boil the kettle, and that vapor arises up out of the kettle, and as soon as you see the vapor, as soon as you see it, it's gone. That's exactly like your life. As soon as you're born, you begin to die. In the grand scheme of things, you're no sooner born than when you close your eyes in death. Many people, when they think of their futures, they never remember about their own mortality. And I want to say to you tonight, lovingly, and with all the compassion I can in my heart, I want to remind you tonight, you are going to die. You are going to die. And you will leave this world. And you will give an account of the life that you have lived. I exhort you tonight, perhaps you have come to this meeting house and you have your whole life planned out, but you have no provision made for eternity. You have all the comforts that this life can give you, but you have no comfort for death. I exhort you tonight, do not forget about God. Do not forget about your own mortality, but come to Christ tonight and know true comfort for death. Know him as your Savior. Know him that he can remove your sin and take it away and can give you peace with God, and you'll live in peace and you'll die in peace if you've Christ. I want you to notice with me though tonight, thirdly and finally, we've considered this rich farmer's fortune. We've considered his forgetfulness. But thirdly and finally, I want you to consider this rich fool's foolishness. His foolishness. Now, as always with the Lord's parables, there's a dramatic ending. And we have seen how this man prospered. We have seen how he forgot about God and his own mortality. But here's the dramatic ending. God now speaks. God now speaks to him. And God says in verse number 20, "Thou fool. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided?" You know, up until this point, as the Lord was telling the parable, this rich farmer may have been the envy of all those who heard about his life. This rich farmer may have been the talk, even in the story setting of the countryside. Oh, he's rich. Did you hear how he had a bumper harvest? Did you hear how he had so much fruit that he couldn't contain it? Did you hear how smart he was? Did you hear how rich he's become? He was probably the envy of the countryside. But at the end of the day, only God's opinion matters. And you could be here tonight and you could be the envy of the countryside. You could walk into town or drive into town and everyone could be looking at you saying, "I wish I had went the road they had went. I wish I had invested my money the same way they had invested. I wish I was as smart as them or as wise as them." And yet tonight, man's opinion does not matter. Only God's opinion matters. And I want to ask you tonight, what does God think of you? What does God think of you? Does God see an individual who has not lived for selfishness and for sin, but an individual who has lived for salvation and for the Savior? What does the Lord see? What is God's opinion of you? Notice how the Lord described this man, "Thou fool, thou fool." That word struck me, that word "fool." And this is where we come, as what I've said. How can we bring those two words together, the rich fool? Rich people are normally smart. Rich people are normally industrious. So how was this man a fool as well as being rich? Well, I want to show you how this man was actually a smart man. In verse number 17, here's his problem. "What shall I do? I have no room where to bestow my fruits." So a scenario is he has an abundance of corn or fruit or whatever he was growing. And he had his barns which were jam-packed and he had all this leftover goods that he had nowhere to put. What was he going to do? Well, the question might come, why didn't he just fill his barns and sell off the excess? Why didn't he just, sell it off and make money? And it's really actually very smart and it's very simple economics. What happens whenever there is a lack of an amount of a certain type of produce in the market? It drives the price of that up. What happens when the marketplace is completely filled with a certain product? It drives the price of that product down. To give you an illustration of this, in terms that I myself can identify with as being a farmer, last year when there was a bad winter, the price of round bales, you all have seen them before, those black bales that sit in fields or in farmyards, the price of a round bale skyrocketed. Absolutely skyrocketed. Why did it skyrocket? Because nobody had them and everybody wanted it. But 2 or 3 years ago when we had a good summer, and you're probably laughing at the fact when I said good summer, but the best summer we could have hoped for, and everyone had round bales, what happened? The price of round bales went down. And this man realized, listen, if I sell off all my excess fruit and all my excess goods and everybody has it, it's going to drive the price down of that produce. And so he says to himself, I'm going to build greater barns. And even notice the smartness of that. He's going to build greater. The idea behind that word greater is to build up. He's going to build up higher barns. barns. And the reason why he's going to build higher barns is because if he built wider barns or longer barns, he was going to take up more room, more ground. And land in the land of Israel was precious. So this man, he would build taller barns, take up no ground, fill up the storehouse with all the fruit, and then he could sell out the produce at whatever price he wanted, because he was the leading competitor in the market. The man was very smart. So why did God call him a fool? It's very simple. Because although he was smart with his physical life, he was a fool spiritually. Although he had prepared everything he needed for years and years and years to come, he very simply had forgotten about eternity. And you could be here tonight and you could be smart. And I'm not against that. It's good if you've been successful. It's good if you've been industrious. But tonight I want to say so graciously to you, you're a fool if you've forgotten about eternity. If you have forgotten about your meeting with God, you're a fool. Because it will come. It will come. This man hadn't prepared for eternity. He couldn't take his wealth with him. His wealth meant nothing. And whenever we stand before God's judgment throne, we'll not stand there with our nice car. We'll not stand there with our land. We'll not stand there with our business. Either we will stand with Christ or without Christ. How will you stand before the judgment throne? Will you stand with Christ or will you stand without him? Notice what the Lord goes on to say. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? I've described this wee statement as a farmer's nightmare. A farmer's nightmare. And a farmer's nightmare is this, that he would labor, toil, and sweat his entire life in building up the land and cultivating the land and building up the houses. And then he would leave it to a son or leave it to someone else and they would waste it and squander it. And that's exactly what the Lord was saying here. You could leave behind all your millions. You could leave behind all your businesses and all your land and houses. And somebody could come along and within one generation, it could all be gone. That is how futile riches are. That is how fleeting wealth is. It could be here in one generation and gone in the next. Notice what he goes on to say in verse 21. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. What does it mean to be rich toward God? That's ultimately what I desire for you tonight. Not to be rich in time, but rich toward God. And to be rich toward God means that you have lived your life. You have given to God, not to yourself or selfishness, but you have given to God your whole life. Not money. But your time, your life, your being, you've committed to Jesus Christ all your hope and all your confidence and all your trust for eternity. You've acknowledged to him, my wealth can't save me. And you've said, I'm going to come to Christ and I'm going to accept his salvation. And let me tell you this, God's salvation and experiencing salvation, that is true wealth. That is to be rich beyond compare. I don't care who you are or what you've got. I would not trade what you have tonight for the peace that I have when I put my head on the pillow at night. And I know that if I died at that moment, it would be absent from the body and present with the Lord. That is not worth swapping for millions or millions or millions. There's no price that you can put on having peace with God. And I exhort you tonight, you can have this richness with God. You can have this salvation. You can have this wealth toward God if you'd confess to him your sin. If you'd cry out to him to save you and repent of it. And you would trust Christ through his word. What does it say about Christ in 2 Corinthians? Though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. Dear unbeliever, tonight Christ stands and he is able to make you rich. Rich with his salvation. Rich with peace. Rich with joy. Rich with a love in your heart for God that surpasses everything else. He stands willing to give you this. To make you rich. To give you the gift of eternal life. And all he says is repent of your sin and put your trust in him. What will you do tonight with Christ? What will you do with his offer of mercy? What will you do with his offer of wealth? Will you continue on in this world thinking to yourself and really filling up your mind that you don't think of it? You won't think about eternity. You won't think about the judgment. You'll work and work and work and keep yourself busy. Is that the way you're going to go on? As we read tonight in the Gospel of Mark chapter 8, for what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? It's a rhetorical question. The answer is nothing. This rich farmer gained it all. Gained it all. And yet he lost everything. He had nothing. And I cannot stress to you enough tonight, you can have it all and yet have nothing if you don't have Christ. The love of money and materialism is dangerous because it can make us forget our greatest need for God's salvation. This rich farmer, he went to hell to be with those other people who had lost it all because of their wealth. Think of the rich man in Luke 16. Fared sumptuously every day, wore white linen, those flowing garments, and yet he's lost in hell. And let me ask you tonight the question that I asked you at the start of this message. What world are you living for? It is a question on which your soul depends. It is a question that will be answered tonight. It'll be answered tonight whenever you leave this meeting. For either you will leave this meeting trusting in Christ, saying, I'm going to live for eternity. I'm going to live for God. I want true richness, which is God's salvation in my heart. Or you will leave tonight saying, I am living for here and now. And you're going to forget about God and you're going to forget about your own mortality. Oh, I trust that you will not be like this rich man, a rich fool. Because though he was rich in time, yet he was a beggar for all of eternity. Let's bow together. A word of prayer.